Commerce, please come to order.
Ken, this is Alita Haynes.
It's 8:30 in the morning, March the 8th. I'd like to note those members present, Representative Ewing, Representative Furnace, Representative Ringstaff. And the first bill we'll be dealing with this morning is Senate substitute for Senate current resolution 18 amended. And Senate current resolution 18, if the governor were to implement the request made in this resolution, a state task force would be appointed. The purpose would be to promote small business development and maintenance in Alaska. And I note Senator Fisher sponsored the bill. If you'd like to come forward, then.
Mr. Chairman, I was wondering how you transact your business, whether you want senators to stand in front of the House.
Stand at attention, absolutely.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Vic Fisher, Senator from Anchorage. I appreciate very much the opportunity to meet with you on this particular resolution. I know you have other people and not much time, so I'll be very brief. The State Affairs Committee conducted a series of hearings during the 1982 interim on problems of small business and problems of minority and female business enterprises. We found that from Ketchikan to Kotzebue, there's a problem with small businesses being able to, you might say, participate actively and properly in state affairs, in state businesses, and state contracting, and so on. We found that the state has lots of programs to help so-and-so, and they have loans for this and loans for that. There was not adequate support for small businesses. But above all, the state simply was ignoring small businesses. And there's some major problems in the area of where contracts are let, that contracts are let at a massive basis instead of being disaggregated so Alaska businesses can participate. Bonding was brought up time and time and time again as a critical issue. And the others are all mentioned in the resolution and the memorandum that's in your pile. One of the recommendations from that study was that we should address the governor to have the governor initiate a concerted effort to promote the participation of small businesses in Alaska, to do something about bonding, to do something about the way contracts are let and so on. And rather than try to push every item by legislation that we initiate, we want the governor to establish a task force, do whatever is necessary to move it in the direction of supporting, advocating the participation of small businesses. And that's essentially what this resolution asks, and I certainly urge you to support it.
Thank you. I think that during our recent conversations, I have been very familiar with the small business communities, and bonding has been a problem, especially doing work with the municipalities or government agencies, and I don't know if there's any solution to that, and I hope that perhaps we could raise the inflation and everything has went up, and costs of jobs have almost doubled, and it would seem that it would be appropriate that we raise the limit, perhaps, for working that has to be bonded, the dollar figure.
Mr. Chairman, I might just respond to that. We've had efforts to do that year after year. There's usually resistance from within the administration or some kind of stumbling block comes along. I think that is very appropriate, and this is why we feel the administration has got to sort of internalize this as a concern, as an issue that they will pursue.
Thank you, Representative Furnace.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. To Senator Fisher, how many persons do you envision being on the task force?
I don't know. I have no preconceived notions so far as I'm concerned. It could be one of the governors, what they call mini cabinet, where they say, okay, Department of Commerce, Department of Labor, Department of DOTPF Administration, whoever else, and they do the work. I might mention, Mr. Chairman, that the Department of Commerce does have a very small unit, the Economic Enterprise Office. They do try to work on problems of small business. They're going to be working with DOTPF on minority contracting and related issues. But that is just sort of like doing something off in the closet.
Sure.
It's not major trust of the state government.
If I may call, Mr. Chairman, is it also your intent, I notice that it is not specifically mentioned in the bill, that there be legislative representation?
No, Mr. Chairman, if I may respond, I have no intent, the resolution has no intent. If you think it ought to be written in, fine, but the thrust, again, is to get the government to do something. And how, so the mechanics, whether it's internal to the executive branch or joint with legislators, whether it's a private business task force, I personally have no preconceived notions.
One final statement, Mr. Chairman. I certainly support what you're doing. It's an admirable idea. I wish I'd have thought of it. I'm concerned here, just knowing the somewhat the tenor and the mentality that's taking place. We've tried in another instance to identify a source of what I call funding of last resort. As you're well aware, the banking institutions are very hesitant to provide long or short-term working capital or long-term capital to certain business entities. And the state, for the most part, has just simply closed its eyes, and according to the Deputy Director of Commerce, it's not needed. There's not a demand out there because the bankers told them that. And you know, whatever we can do to focus some attention towards these small businesses, particularly those who've been in business for a long period of time, who are struggling because they're not connected with the community that has a financial institution, and you know, they're suffering a great deal. I see that, you see it, and I don't know why everybody else can't see it.
But, Mr. Chairman, if I may respond to that.
Sure.
I think that is one of the critical issues before us. We have loan programs for fisheries, for mining, for agriculture, for this and that represented. Ewan knows the list better than I do. And when I see what we're doing in the area of agriculture, I just keep thinking, my God, you know, the productivity of small business is so much greater than anything we'll ever see come out of agriculture, because study after study has shown that more employment is achieved through small business development than any other economic development opportunity. And I certainly hope that maybe all of us working together, we can achieve a small business loan program that can fill the gap for the mom and pop type operation up to what Small Business Administration is doing, because SBA really doesn't meet Alaska's needs.
Yeah, I believe the intention of the resolution, like I said, is just to get the administration assistance in establishing policy, and just if they put the policy down, that is a big step, and I would like to move.
I'll move and ask unanimous consent that we pass out sponsor substitute for Senate concurrent resolution number 18 amended.
No. Any objection? So moved.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
The next item I'd like to deal with is House Bill 680. My staff has got a committee substitute, and if he could explain what we've did and what we haven't did from yesterday, and perhaps, yes.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Merrill Sikorsky, Staff Representative John Cowdery. And you all recall in the hearing yesterday, the Chairman of the Oil and Gas Commission, Chad Chatterton, was here and introduced a series of three amendments. And we've reviewed those amendments, and I've gotten input from industry as well as feeling from some folks over in the Senate. And while we found no objection to amendment number one, The basic feeling is that this amendment is in the state's best interest, because it will be to the state's benefit when there is a test well, rather than the company putting that oil back into the ground at an expense to them, but not as great an expense as releasing their proprietary data on those in that test well. They would put the oil into the pipeline, which would give the state severance tax, would give it royalty share, and actually create revenue. So amendment number one is in the best interest of the state from that standpoint. So that's been incorporated into the CS that is now before you as an amendment. The other two amendments that Mr. Chatterton introduced basically take a practice that is now already being done and gives it statutory authority. It was felt that these two things do have a little bit of controversy around them, and that it will slow down the bill. And the chairman has suggested yesterday, has felt that it would be better to have a labor and commerce bill introduced to cover those two areas and have those two bills go through on their own merit without attaching them to this one. Because to get the authority to transfer this power is needed as soon as possible. We really don't want to slow this bill down. The only other change that was recommended in committee yesterday, which we've researched to find that by changing the wording in subsection E here on the claims of confidentiality, it would just simply change the structure of the sentence, but would not change any legal interpretation or the meaning that section E will have there.
Representative Furness?
Yes. Two questions, Mr. Chairman. The first is on those two amendments. It is the intent of the chair to draft another bill.
Yes.
The second has to do with the fiscal note. I would assume that these are the dollars necessary to run the commission, and not necessarily as a result of this piece of legislation.
Right. The fiscal note seems to be just calling for the impact of hiring one additional person to oversee this. As the chairman asked Mr. Chatterton yesterday whether they had looked into the federal programs for funding this transfer of authority, hasn't been done yet. And I would hope that in Finance Committee they would look into that to see. This fiscal note may indeed be high because there may be some federal dollars available.
Well, I note, Mr. Chairman, it does indicate on the back here that contractual cost to prepare an application package to EPA for obtaining primacy is estimated to cost $60,000, so that at least takes care of the word process machine will be obtained from the additional clerk type is 3 on a 4-year rental purchase, and additional clerical supplies will be required. One time expenditure for office equipment. Okay. I assume we can deal with that in Finance.
Any more questions? Thank you, Merle. I'd like to have a motion to accept the committee substitute.
So, Mr. Chairman.
Any objections? And then I'd like to move this. I think the next committee of referral is resources and.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
I move that we pass from committee, committee substitute for House Bill number 680, Labor and Commerce, dated 3784.
Excuse me. We have, let's back up here. We do have two people. Harry, did you want to testify on this?
No, sir. I'm on House Bill 610.
Oh, okay. We have anybody else here to testify on this? Okay.
Mr. Chairman. Yeah. Now, the reason for these other two amendments that you're speaking of, putting them in other legislation instead of putting them in this legislation, is why now?
We didn't want to jeopardize this bill with the other amendments or cloud it up any. So we'll deal that with separate legislation. That was the, by talking with everybody involved, it thought it was a better way to do it.
To repeat my motion, Mr. Chairman, I move that we pass from committee to the next committee referral, committee substitute for House Bill number 680, Labor and Commerce, dated 3784, and the accompanying fiscal note. Ask for unanimous consent.
Any objection? So moved. The next bill we will deal with will be
has handled the other two items on their agenda. They're ready to move to House Bill 610, which is the construction bill and Board of Builders. Stand by, Representative John Cowdery, who's chairing the House Labor and Commerce Committee.
Walt, do you want to say a few things on this? This is Representative Cowdery. House Bill 610 was written in late November after a number of hearings conducted by Representative Furness on problems related to small contractors in Alaska. The purpose of this legislation is to reduce the number of contractors who operate in Alaska without holding a state contractor's license. And during the heavy construction season, a large number of contractors from out of state come to Alaska, and because many are not licensed or bonded, or don't have expenses, or don't, you know, such as workman's comp and the normal operating expenses of all businesses, small businesses, they can easily underbid many of the contractors who comply with the license requirements. And so this bill would make changes in the statutes designed to help those contractors who may have complied with the law. And I, with that, I would perhaps ask Representative Furness if he has any comments on it.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think you've adequately provided an intro for this legislation. I'd just like to take an opportunity to thank you and the committee members here and those persons out on the teleconference network that have had a very strong hand in forming this legislation. For the sake of time, Mr. Chairman, I would suggest here that we spend this with those persons on the network wish to testify this morning.
Yes, we are going to take this bill in Anchorage this weekend anyway, and I'd like to now go to Sitka, if we could, and hear testimony from Sitka, Mr. Harry Chartier.
This is the moderator in Sitka. Mr. Chartier is ready to speak. May I please note that we are getting electrical static from Representative Furness's microphone. Perhaps the moderator and Juno would want to check that.
Okay, yes, we'll check it out. Could you continue, Mr. Chartier?
Good morning. My name is Harry Chartier. I represent the building department for the city of the borough of Sitka. I support the concept of the legislation. However, I do have a couple of concerns with the way the current bill is written. While it's generally agreed that we need some kind of a better handle on contractor licensing, it's also generally agreed that we need some minimum fitness requirements for people who will be licensed. And I see in the current edition of the bill that there is no requirement for either a fitness examination or a minimum resume requirement for review before a license is issued. The second point that I'd like to make is that we have questions locally about upon whose shoulders enforcement responsibilities will fall. And those are the two issues that I would like to put on the table at this time.
Thank you, Harry. Representative Furness would like to respond.
Thank you for your question. The first having to deal with fitness requirement. During the deliberation in putting this bill together, we had termed that competency, and the question was, how do you determine competency? As you're probably aware, engineers, electrical engineers, and I believe to some limited degree plumbers, do go through some competency examination or determination. The big question was, how do you do that for a general contractor or a specialty contractor, say in concrete masonry or drywall or whatever? And to our knowledge, no state in the union has developed a system to test that. Therefore, we were somewhat stalemated in that there is nothing to go by, and it's very difficult to try and develop something like that in order to get some consensus on it. Any comments to that so far?
I believe that California does have a couple of mechanisms in place to test fitness or competency. One of those is a written test, and the second part of that is certification of 4 years of experience in the trade that you're trying to become licensed in.
In response to that, we did look at the California regulation in addition to, I believe, Oregon, and it was generally felt that those were not advanced enough to put into application in the state of Alaska at this time. One of the things we were somewhat sensitive to is that since we have such a large number of startup businesses at various stages of development, it may be too much too soon, and the idea was to let's put a basic board in place, and then perhaps next session or the section thereafter, after we get some experience factor, we may indeed go back to the table and look at some means of competency.
I'm glad to hear that competency is an issue that you're thinking about, and I would hope that it be considered somewhere down the road if HB 615 is passed as it stands.
One question concerning who should provide the enforcement. Well, needless to say, those persons in the industry are perhaps the best ones to assure any type of enforcement by simply advising the Department of Commerce of any infractions. If you, as a supplier, know that a person is operating without proper bonding and proper state certification, then it would be your responsibility or perhaps privilege to inform the department of that, and they would in turn pass this information on to the proposed builder's board. They would in turn take this on advisement, contact the person, and take whatever steps available within the ability of the legislation.
Will the current Department of Labor inspectors, the electrical inspectors, the plumbing inspectors, will those people be involved in the enforcement issues on the local levels?
I know we called in our deliberation or reading the bill that we specifically stated this. I would think through at least we would hope through a spirit of cooperation, that all persons would take heed to the new provisions in the bill and use that as an opportunity to clean up what we suspect may be an unpleasant situation throughout the state.
Terrific. And one last question then. The board itself, it's, as we were waiting for a quorum to be established, we were discussing the makeup of the board around our table here, and it was felt that we would like to see a specialty contractor with expertise in plumbing and a specialty contractor with expertise in electrical both be represented on the board. And then I have a question of mechanics. How will those board members be selected, and what would be the procedure for specialty contractors to apply for consideration as membership on the board?
The respective board members will be selected by the governor. Normally, recommendations are made to the governor as to members wishing to serve on that, so I would assume that there are some persons that you may have in mind. You can simply send a resume of that person to the governor outlining their abilities and all, and then it will take it from there.
Okay, thank you. That completes my testimony.
Thank you. I'd ask the other Mary Lou, Villander, if she would come forward, and hopefully we can, we've got many witnesses and a short time, so we can, if we would be very concise, we'd appreciate it.
Okay, the one item that I was for, and Harry just mentioned, and that was having both a plumber and electrician on that board. But the other items I have is there going to be a certain time so many years that a contractor has to be in the state before the governor will accept them onto this board, or are we going to be getting newcomers on the board not listening to the grandfather people?
The question was if there's going to be a limit of time you'd have to be in the state before you could get on the board, was that it, or be a contractor?
Be a contractor.
As I understand...
This representing Furnace.
Yes. Maybe we can have Mr. Traeger come to the table at this time, too, from the Department of Commerce with occupational licensing. Normally, I don't think we provide any type of criteria. As long as a person is a resident of the state of Alaska, and I believe that's 30 days, and hopefully there is some support letters on behalf of this person, or someone at least can testify if the person has been around, understand the trade or whatever, and that is normally a criteria. Mr. Chairman, if we could ask Mr. Traeger to respond to that.
Yes, Mr. Harry Traeger, would you identify yourself for the record, please?
Mr. Chairman, excuse me, I'm Harry Traeger, Director of the Division of Occupational Licensing in the Department of Commerce. In response to Representative Furness's question, some boards have requirements for length of service in a particular profession and others don't. I don't see that in this bill. For instance, a physician must be practicing in the state 5 years prior to appointment to the board.
That's, I was appointed to the board, but what about getting the contractor's license? I think that was her question.
Sir, at the present time, I don't see, there is, in the bill itself, there is no requirement of any duration of residency.
Yes. Okay. Mary, does that answer your question?
Yes, that answers my question, and this is a step in the right direction. I am for this bill. There's probably a lot of things that can be done later down the road. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, if I could respond to several persons have asked a question, at least voice support for having both the plumbing specialist and the electrical specialist. The board is a three-member board. The primary emphasis is upon those persons in the home building industry. Therefore, it was generally felt that the preponderance of persons should be within that, so we have three general contractors. The two specialty contractors, it says one of which is to be a plumbing specialist and an electrical specialist. So I believe it, just reading that, it says or electrical specialist, and one from a municipality and one from the public. I would think that we would try as much as possible, if not at one time, at least on a rotational basis, to make sure that the plumbing and the electrical specialist was represented as much as possible.
Yes, I think the mechanical, like to say, inspector would be. Do you have any comments on that, Harry?
Mr. Chairman, I'm in a precarious position right now because the administration's position would be to oppose the creation of the board. In response to your question, I think whatever the legislation says as far as the makeup items, there is no set policy. The legislators previously have attempted to protect all the interest under a governing licensing function, so that's the consideration.
Perhaps
I have a question for the sponsor.
Okay, I would like to perhaps ask you at this time just to present your testimony, and then we can get into any questions. Maybe
we get in the cut and later.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Traeger.
The department is in support of a concept, but would be opposed to House Bill 610 on the basis of the board creation to begin with. The administration's position is to take a careful look at all the creation of boards and commissions, and at the present time is not to endorse any new ones. The governor's office is presently in the process of doing a study on all the existing boards and commissions, and currently they feel like there is too many. In regards to House Bill 610, we did prepare some suggested amendments to the bill to the sponsor's office and to the committee staff. We would hope they would be considered. However, yesterday we were advised that there is some opposition from the industry in regards to our proposed amendments. the amendments were offered as a, an aid to the committee and to the sponsor, not that we're diehard for casting concrete with them. We would be willing to work with the industry and with the committee staff in any way possible to help with this type of legislation. We think that it is needed to prevent the fly-by-nighters coming in, and that's our main concern at the present time. However, the bill looks like it does put a lot of new restrictions on the already legitimate contractors. The board makeup is unique in that it reviews the qualifications or complaints of licensees after they're licensed. It's also unique in the fact that it has the ability to impose a civil fine, which none of our other boards do.
Thank you. Representative Ewing?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And a question to Mr. Traeger. I'm just going through, and I've just had a chance to briefly go through this last page. I guess it's page 5. And is there any question of an overlap? In other words, what the board's duties and responsibilities might do. Is there anything that there might, is there any kind of an overlap with those duties and responsibilities with something that we might presently have in place? Or is this something that they're going to have complete jurisdiction on and they'll be able to move in a direction on?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Yearling, my interpretation is like it is any other board. It would have the sole jurisdiction after its formulation. Presently, now, when we take any action against the licensee, we have to contact all board members and get a concurrence of a majority to take whatever action. The way the statute is presently written, Department of Labor is the enforcement authority on it. So it would be a duplication of review, more or less.
But as a follow-up, then they would have sole jurisdiction over anything that would occur with contractors, all the way from home builders to the general contractors, or just specifically for home builders, or maybe you could be how specific with that?
Representative, the way I read the bill is that it doesn't delineate between home builders or commercial contractors, and it covers the entire span. So they would have authority over the commercial as well as the home builders. I really would ask that I don't mean to take up too much time because of your time, but the industry, I think, will have more pertinent information for you.
The independent or AGC, or what industry are you talking about?
Well, sir, I received a call from independent contractors as well as AGC. The independent contractors, I received 3 calls, and out of the 3, 2 felt there should be a board. But they again addressed an overall board, not separating it from independent contractors and commercials. And the commercial contractor felt it should not be a board.
Thank you. Representative Ringstad?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Following up what Representative Ewing started a little bit, currently the Department of Commerce licenses and regulates the contractors, and Department of Labor enforces them. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay, then this will go to say that under the Department of Commerce, there is a Board of Builders, and they will in fact be the ones regulating rather than the departments doing it from within. Is that correct?
Chairman, if I may,
yes, Representative Furnish.
I think the Department of Labor does not regulate builders. What they do is serve as a sort of a regulatory agent in the trade, whereby I would assume that there is an infraction having to do with labor or whatever. They would be there to draw attention to that and provide whatever remedy is available. But to my knowledge, they don't do anything specific and regulating builders, do they, Mr. Traeger?
Yes, sir, they do.
You want to
they're the ones
to?
That go out and look at if an electrician is doing work outside of his area. There's 5 different categories in the electrical field, such as inside wiring, outside wiring, etc. If an electrician is doing something
that he is not licensed for, they issue a cease and desist. The current statute gives the Department of Labor the enforcement authority.
So, if with this bill, then we're taking it out of labor and putting that with the board?
That's correct, sir.
So essentially, we're creating a board to consolidate the regulation function of commerce and the enforcement function of labor.
Representative, that's not entirely correct, because what you have is the board does the administrative end. They don't actually go out and do the enforcement. We have investigators in commerce, and labor uses their inspectors out of their mechanical section to do the enforcement on the construction trades.
Then the board does the administrative end. Who does the administrative end now?
We do, in the Division of Occupational Licensing. The only thing on the administrative end for construction contractors presently is the providing of insurance, bonding, and filling out a one-page application and paying a fee.
So we'll be taking those functions away from the department itself as an entity and giving that to the board. We'll operate under the department, but give that to the board, and then also giving some of these other functions to the board.
That's my understanding of the legislation, yes, sir.
Have you, in reviewing this bill, have you worked at all with the Department of Labor yet? Obviously, this is kind of a two-way deal. They do part of the Department of Labor. If it's both of you, both departments working together at this point to work with the industry, have you, and you're putting together your positions, worked with the Department of Labor?
Yes, sir, we have. We would encourage the legislation to include the Department of Labor. And for the simple reason, sir, is that they have the electrical expertise out there. They have the plumbing inspectors out there. They have the mechanical inspectors out there. My staff is strictly investigators that prepare cases for hearings and things of that nature. As far as the technicalities in electrical and plumbing, that is not engrossed in my staff.
But you say they have the bill include the Department of Labor. How so? Include them where?
Well, we would not be opposed to the bill the way the current statute it reads is that the Department of Labor does the enforcement. We would not be opposed to that, the current statute. And in our recommendation and proposed amendments, we suggested that possibly a joint effort between Commerce and the Department of Labor.
So you're saying that we should leave the functions that Department of Labor now has in the Department of Labor?
I would encourage that, yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, thank you. I'd like, if you have nothing to add at this time, do you have more testimony or just stand by for maybe?
No, Mr. Chairman, I'm at the committee's disposal.
Okay. I'd like to try to get through some of the witnesses that are standing by. How about in Petersburg, Mr. Harvey Bohanna?
Bohanna, yeah.
Yes, that's right. Thank you.
Yes, if you could be concise, we have a number of people to testify, and we'll try to get through as much as we can this morning.
Yeah, thanks. I testified down in Ketchikan some time ago on this, and my concern was the lack of examination for this any contractor, especially or general or building, any contractor, there should be some sort of a exam to show their qualification just for the public protection, if nothing else. Today was the first time I've seen the bill in its content as it's written now, and most of it I agree with it, but my primary concern is the examining board. Thank you.
Thank you, Harry. It's our intention. We're going to have hearings in Anchorage this weekend, and then also we'll probably come back to the committee and revise or whatever. So we appreciate your testimony this morning.
Thank you.
Representative Furness would like to comment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And to Harry, we responded to the question of competency in the exams a few minutes ago. I make note that, as I understand, the Board of Electrical Examiners, probably one of the very few boards that do have some form of examination, they're currently going through quite a turmoil in their setup in trying to come with an exam that is representative and people feel fair about it. We still think it would be somewhat difficult to develop an exam that is representative and can be proven to be fair within the industry. If you have such an item, we would certainly be pleased to review that and try and work with it.
Mr. Furness, I'm not saying that you can start examining contractors as of tomorrow, but we do have other exams set up for other trades and professional people, so I don't see where there's such a big concern about the lack of knowledge of setting up the exam, because I'm sure there's other, even the general and the contractors and especially contractors could give the board a lot of suggestions on this.
Okay, yes, Harvey, if you would like to or could send a letter here to the Labor and Commerce Committee or Representative Furness, that we will try to get your concerns addressed in perhaps a substitute or amendment.
Yes, I'll try my best. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And then we have Richard and Donna Greenway there in Petersburg. Could you come forward, please?
Yes, well, I have to agree with Harvey. I'm concerned about some kind of qualifications for your contracting licenses. And I feel that if you have some kind of qualifications and one thing or another, and you set up this board, the board's going to be a lot more functional.
I understand, and we will try to address that that concern. Is anyone else in Petersburg there to testify?
Yes, this is Mrs. Greenway. I have a concern with the raising of the contractor's bonding from $5,000 to $10,000. I don't feel that that's going to make any difference in getting qualified people. I do agree that it's some type of testing or resume and documentation of your ability is the only way that it's going to make any difference. Thank you.
Thank you, Donna. There was some concern or some thought on my part, and I think some of the other members, that perhaps rather than put a more of a hardship on people that were trying to abide by the law legally, perhaps we could go to a two-year licensing program where as the expense would be no greater per year, but at least if somebody came in for a very short time and tried to buy a license on a hit-and-run basis, that they would have to, the cost of, they would have to go up front with 2 years, and I don't think that would necessarily form a hardship on the people, the local people that intend to be here 2 years, but something in that order. I don't know if that's a workable situation, but it was just a thought.
Yes, that sounds like it might be a definite alternative to the raising of it to $10,000. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
I'd
like to go to Cordova now, Mr. John Wilson.
Yeah, this is John Wilson, Wilson Construction, Cordova, and I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to speak. And I'm in favor of this concept to restrict fly-by-night contractors, but I'm more in favor of a testing program. I've heard quite a bit of pros and cons both ways, but I'm still in favor of a testing program. The plumbers have tests, the electricians have tests, and I think that the state, the contractors, the industry could come up with a workable test for contractors. I feel if this bill, as it is written, hinders the small or the contractor, the people who live in Alaska, more than it contractor's bond amount by considerable, which will not stop an outsider from coming in here and bidding work. If he wants to come here, he's not going to care about how much he pays. He's just going to come. There's a lot of little things in here. The registration numbers on all of our